I want to share with you some thoughts briefly from the book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter. I'll tell you some things that prompts me to be interested in this particular chapter or verses. When I was leaving, going to Siberia, my wife and I, my last Sunday at Aberdeen, I preached from this chapter. I had begun to read a book, The Whole Armor of God by Wim Gundle, which was written probably 1700s, Zach, something about that time period. He's an old Puritan writer. It's a Christian classic. It's a long book. And when I say begun to read it, you read and read and read and read, but it is a very good book and one that I suggest that every Christian should read. And so I had become exercised about this and felt burdened to share some thoughts with our church on this particular scripture, especially on being strong in the Lord. As I was leaving them, I urged them, admonished them to be strong in the Lord. Well, when I went to Russia, the first sermon I heard in Russia, Brother Sergei preached over there, and Brother Vladimir interpreted for me, and so I understood what he was preaching about, and he was preaching from that very text himself. What a good message on being strong in the Lord. And then at the last church where I was at, Brother Sergei Litvinov, I worked on these all the way up here, and I said, I'm glad he got my backup. But I always call him Sergei L. That's just the best way I'll do it. There's Sergei M, there's Sergei A, there's Sergei G, there's Sergei L, and there's Sergei, we got so many Sergeys over there, and it's just like John over here in the United States, and Vladimir also. But anyway, Sergei L, pastor of a church not very far from Irkutsk, and I was there on Wednesday night. And we had some very good discussions, and in our discussions, he asked me if I was familiar with this book, The Armor of God by Wim Gummel. Christian Complete Armor. And I said, yeah, I've been reading it. And he had been reading it too. And so we just had a very good discussion about the book. So it just providentially and things have, and so today, and I'm telling you that I preached on this morning from at Aberdeen. And I feel burdened to share some brief thoughts with you. And I preached for an hour this morning, so I won't do that this tonight, maybe 45 minutes. But I just want to give you a resume, summary of what I said this morning, and because I feel burdened about this for all of God's people, and I don't want to talk about the armor so much as the necessity of the armament. Paul says in the 10th verse here, the 10th chapter, 6th chapter of Ephesians, he says, finally, and that word finally, it does not mean in conclusion, because, it's like a Baptist preacher saying finally, it just means that I've got more to say. But it means this, of great importance. This is great importance. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, the importance of that is seen in the next two verses, what the Apostle Paul says to us. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, alarms ought to go off in our heads, spiritually speaking, against the wiles of the devil. Now, the devil is not a very honest, forthright person who fights by the rules. He gets the wiles. It is unethical. He is unethical. He is dishonest. He is a liar. Everything, every bad term that you can use to talk about anyone, the devil is that. The Lord said that he was the father of a lie and a murderer from the beginning. So that tells you something about his character. Against the wiles, the insults of the devil. Paul warns the church at Corinth that let us not be ignorant of lest Satan should get an advantage over you. Let us not be ignorant of his devices. He has multiple devices. Now, Satan is not omnipotent. He is not God, but he is powerful. He is not singular. While he is a person, he has a force, legions. demons that work in cohort with him. And so Paul says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, indeed, Satan uses individuals, but it is not merely against individuals. Whenever there is a problem, sin problem, issues that we look at, we always see that as in that person, but we need to understand that there is a spirit that works in people, even Christian people, who I don't mean that Christians are demon-possessed, but I do believe that Christians oftentimes are satanically influenced. Now, you are maybe taken back by that, but remember that our Lord must say to Peter, and he strongly rebukes Peter, who refused to listen to the Lord's admonitions or warnings, and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savest not the things of God. And that was a very stern rebuke to Peter, but because he was being influenced and was satanically almost, and I don't mean demon-possessed, but under the influence of Satan, when he was trying to say, I'll never betray you. And he even forbade the Lord, said, took the Lord aside, you know, and said, I know more about this, and I'm paraphrasing. I know about this, what you know. You cannot go up to Jerusalem and be crucified. That was not in Peter's program and plan. Well, anyway, the Lord said to him, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, the thing that concerns me is that we as Christians forget or we don't pay attention to this issue that we are in a conflict. The devil is our ever-present adversary. Paul, Peter said, be sober, be vigilant for your adversary. That's not the preacher's adversary or somebody else's adversary, but your personal adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, that's a terrible word there. Devour. Destroy. Seeking. In fact, matter, one of the words used to describe Satan is that he is the destroyer. He is seeking to destroy. Now, there are four things. Starts with a D. I'll have to remember them. Four things that the devil's program is. Number one, he denies truth. He is the arch denier of all truth and all of God's promises. He came to Eve in the garden and said to her, hath God said, and he said, you shall not surely die. And he's the father of a lie, and so all false teaching and all false doctrine has its source with Satan. Evolution, he denies all the Bible. Everything, you know, he is a denier. And the second thing, as he uses denying the promises of God and the Word of God, he seeks to discourage God's people. And Paul exhorts us that we should encourage one another as you see the evil day approaching. And one of the reasons why we have churches, to encourage each other. And the resources that we need to encourage us, the Satan tries to keep us from them. Prayer, reading the Word of God, attending the house of God. Satan knows the power that, and when you are doing those things, that you are made strong in the Lord, and so he tries to discourage you and prevent you from doing those things. I could take a poll, and you all would agree that every time you start to do something spiritual, there's always some kind of interference with that. Whether it's reading the Bible, whether it's praying, whether it's going to the house of God. And I tell people, you need to start getting ready to go to church on Saturday night, because the devil has got plans laid out for you, and he's going to throw you a snare and a trap come Sunday morning that's going to try to either keep you from going or make you to be late. And so you need to start making preparations. Game plan about getting to church on Sunday. Well, he discourages you. And the third thing is, what he ultimately is working on is to defile you. He wants to defile your character, your reputation. He wants to defile the house of God. He wants to defile your testimony. Any way and every way that he can bring sin into your life, that's what the devil's program is, to defile you. You are a holy temple. We are God's people. We've been purchased by the blood of Christ. And so Satan's program is in some way or another to defile you so that you are not a vessel that the Holy Spirit uses, and you don't have a witness and testimony and the joy that the Holy Spirit will produce. And so he wants to defile you. And ultimately and finally, the fourth thing is to destroy you, physically and spiritually. He ultimately wants to destroy every one of God's people, every one of God's churches, every one of God's Lord churches. That's the ultimate end. He gives no quarters on that battle. He is ultimately, that's his game plan, ultimately, not just to throw you down and trip you up, but literally to destroy. The wages of sin is death. And so Peter justly says, let us be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, the tragedy is that most of us as Christians are totally passive in this issue of doing battle with Satan. We think that if we lead him along, he'll leave us alone. That's not the case. You cannot be passive in this issue. You have either surrendered, as it were, or you're fighting. You see? Because it is an ongoing issue. And it is a matter whereby that God is pleased to allow us to be involved in this issue and to have us involved in this issue that we might be exercised spiritually. Now, all problems, all tragedies, all conflicts always have their origin with Satan. But God allows them into our lives. He's the ruler and reigns even over Satan. But God allows them for good purposes, for the benefit of his people. Job, you know, Job wasn't a man doing something bad, but he had a lot of bad things happen to him. And the very great problem that all Christians have to deal with is, why do good things happen to bad, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, here is the classic example. Here's a good man, and bad things happen to him. Why? Well, first of all, God used him as a proof test that my grace is sufficient to keep you in the midst of every kind of trial. And that I am the protector of my people. You can do anything you want to him except take his life. And you can't take his life. And you know the outcome of that story. And it benefited Job. Job said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of my ear. Now my eyes see it. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in ashes. Job was made to be stronger in the Lord. And he drew to a closer fellowship with the Lord as a result of the trial. And I use that word trial that he went through. Not that God was testing him, but that God was proving him. Then you have the man Peter. And the Lord said to Peter, Peter, Satan has prayed for you. Actually, that's what the word means there. When he said, Satan has desired thee, actually he's asked for you. He wants you particularly. Now, you know, that again ought to cause alarms to go off in our head. That Satan has the audacity to go to Christ, to God, and ask for one of the apostles. How much more so to someone like me, or, he has no respect for a person. He doesn't care who you are. He tempted the Lord. And so, he doesn't care if you're the preacher's daughter or wife or husband or if you're the preacher. It makes no difference. Satan is after you. And so he said, Satan hath desired you. Now, why? And why did God allow Peter to do what he did, to deny the Lord? Because Peter had a snare. Peter had a fault. And it must be revealed. Peter was very proud, boastful. Though all men will deny you, yet I'll not deny you. And he would not heed the warnings that God gave to him. The Lord told him, you'll deny me. No, I won't. You ever been there? You know, you think kids are that way. We adults are that way. God speaks to us. We just don't listen. All right, Satan has desired you. I'm going to let Satan play with you a little bit. He's going to run you through a sieve. And when you come out, you're going to learn that you're not as strong as you think you are. And that's what happened. I prayed for you when thou wert converted. Strengthen thy brother. Before the cock shall crow twice, you will deny me three times. No, not me, Lord. Everybody else will, but I won't do that. Can you hear that old crow calling and the pains of conviction? Because, Bobby, I've been there. You know. Maybe I did not verbally, outwardly deny the Lord, but in actions and conduct, I deny the Lord, you know. In spite of warnings, admonitions. And God sends something into your life to reprove you and tell you. Maybe it's a sermon, maybe it's a verse text, maybe it's somebody looking at you, something someone said. And guilt and conviction arises. And the Lord turned and looked at him. Isn't that a sweet story? It wasn't a condemning look at all. It was a forgiving look, compassion. And Peter goes out and weeps bitterly. I've been there too. I know what it means to go out and to weep bitterly. But put on the whole armor of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But note this. It's against principalities. Principalities. Powers. Against, Paul says, against the rulers of the darkness. It's not the kingdom of light. Now, you see, Satan doesn't come looking like some kind of Frankenstein monster or Herb Hatfield. He comes as the beauty of light. That's what Paul says in 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. He said, Satan masquerades himself as an angel of light. The word masquerade, the same, you know, you see, we got Halloween coming up, and these kids put on these costumes. They look like some terrible looking creature, you know, skeletons and all that. But Satan does quite the opposite. He masquerades himself as an angel of light and beauty. He's very sophisticated and very well-educated and very appealing, very eloquent, an angel of light. And not only him, but his ministers also. He's got preachers. His ministers also as ministers of what? As righteousness. But they're not just preachers. They're demons. And so Satan doesn't come to us in his outward visible form. It may be a person that you're working with. It may be a school friend. It may be a neighbor that you're going to have to deal with even tomorrow, or I had to deal with this past week. And it wasn't just that person, but we need to see is the spirit that works in that person. They are not always conscious of it. We were all the same way at one time, according to Ephesians chapter 2. You have the quickened who were dead in trespass and sins, you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Understand, this world is not godlike. It's not going God's way. I'm talking about that as far as they're concerned. Their principles, their morals, their standards are not godly. And so that friend, that neighbor, that person you work with, that person who's trying to influence your life, gain your friendship, that person who may not be being motivated by the right spirit. That's why we're told to try the spirit, whether it be of God or not. It may be that person being motivated by a satanic spirit. And how do you know? Well, by the word of God. What's the ultimate end of it? Is it to cause you to be discouraged? Is it to cause you to be defiled in your testimony? Is it to bring about your destruction as a church member and your life, your testimony? What's the ultimate end of where this person wants to take you? And so, it may be a person that the devil comes in your life. You know, it may be a book, a magazine. The devil uses to bring influence into your life. Computer website, TV program, music. Of course, some people, it may be drugs. Some other people, it may be a bottle, alcohol. Other people, it may be pornography. Other people, may be gambling. The devil has varied devices, but he doesn't always show you the end results. He always wants to paint a pretty picture. You know, that's like the worldly advertisement. And the thing that the devil comes to us about and says to us, you deserve better. And you're not getting the best out of life. And I'll show you something better. So that Moses esteemed the treasures of Christ greater riches than the pleasure of sin for a season. There are pleasures in sin temporarily, but sin always costs more than you plan to pay. Sin will always take you farther than you plan to go, and sin will always cause you to stay longer than you plan to stay. wiles of the devil. And Peter and Paul says here, spiritual wickedness. You see, it's not arm wrestling that we're involved in. It's not judo. It's not a boxing game. It's not just doing injury to your physical body that we're talking here about. It's your spiritual soul. Now, I don't believe that one of God's children can lose their salvation. But I believe that we can greatly be damaged and injured and hurt spiritually, crippled, marred. Men go off to war. They come back. They've lost an arm, leg. They didn't lose their life, but their whole life now is changed. Tragic, sorrow comes in because they've just been injured in combat. God, Satan, will not cause you to lose your salvation, but he can cause us great injury, damage, sorrow. We wrestle against, not against flesh and blood, you see. It's not a boxing match. I like football. It's not a ball game. It's not something that you can just laugh off tomorrow. We're talking about things that deal with our spiritual well-being. Satan, the devil. What I listen to, what I think about, what I read, what I look at, what motivates me in my life, my ambitions, all of that can come under satanic influence, the wiles of the devil. And I'm not listening to admonitions, instructions, admonishments, warnings. I neglect the Word of God, prayer, and fellowship with the Lord, and I find myself walking in forbidden pathways. I've been there. So I know what I'm talking about. And the joy of the Lord is gone if David would have been there. Christians of all ages have gone there. You know, the thing that the devil wants us to believe, the subtle thing that he tells you is, it won't hurt you. You won't really die. It won't hurt you. Try it out. It's just for a little season. And that preacher and that Bible don't know what they're talking about. You see, when the Lord told the parable about the sower going forth to sow, here's something we need to catch hold on. Now, there were four types of soil. One of them was God-prepared soil, a heart made prepared. Seed took root, brought forth fruit. But one of them was a hardened soil. And the Word of God, the seed, was sown, and the fowls of the air came and took it away, lest they that heard should take heed and be converted thereby. He said the fowls of the air was the devil, who comes and catches away the word. But the last thing the devil wants you to do is to hear the word of God, to listen to the word of God, to read the word of God. That's the last thing in the world he wants you to do. You remember when Satan was tempting the Lord himself? How did he rebuttal him? With the word of God. Now, the word of God is not a contradictory book. Whatever it says, it's always true. Whether you're reading Genesis or whether you're reading Revelation. I exhort people to read Proverbs every day. Every time I read Proverbs, I get something out of it. Sometimes to my edification and sometimes to my chastening. And 2 months ago, I won't tell you how long ago, maybe even a year ago, time's not important. But it was on the 21st day of the month. And I was reading the 21st chapter. I've read through Proverbs so many times. You know, I ought to have it all memorized, but I don't. And the first verse of the 21st chapter, I really like. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As rivers of water, he turns about whithersoever he will. I just know that verse, and I like that verse, and I know what it verse. But this day, as I was reading through Proverbs, I was having an issue in my life that I didn't want to deal with. And I was, the part of the issue was a matter of pride, that I didn't want to acknowledge that I was maybe wrong. And I had justified myself and defended myself to myself. And I was reading the verse 2. You see, this is the reason why the devil doesn't want you to read the Word of God. Because the Word of God is powerful to a quickened heart. And verse 2 says, every way of man is right in his own eyes. Anybody have any problem with that? I like that. But it's a warning, is it not? Every way of man is right in his own eyes. But the next part of the verse, but. Now, buts are good words sometimes, and sometimes they're bad words. Ephesians 2, Paul talks about how bad we are, and about verse 4 or 5, but God, who is rich in mercy, I like that but right. But here, it's a bad but, because it tells me something that I didn't want to hear. But God, but the Lord, pondereth the hearts. You see, the Word of God reproved me, corrected me, chastened me. That's why the devil doesn't want you to hear and read the Word of God. And I, as a preacher, had to make some correction in my life, make some apology about something because what the Word of God said to me. Now, I know about the devil's snares. If you don't know about them, because you're blinded, you're walking around with your eyes closed. He lays traps for us all the place to ensnare us. You'll not get up tomorrow morning. Before you get out of bed, the devil's already got traps set for you. Before you put your foot on the floor, he's already laid snares for you. Before you open your eyes, the devil has already laid snares for you. How long are you going to go before you go to the Word of God? How long are you going to go before you want to be strong in the Lord? How long are you going to go before you seek God's guidance for the day? Because you're walking in a minefield. You are. Put on the whole armor of God. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. God bless you.